Scripture for the day is Luke 10:38-42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen the better, and it will not be taken away from her." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. I have never been accused of being preoccupied with cleaning. Jesus would never have had to have got on to me about being too focused on doing the dishes or straightening up the room, though my mama always tried to bring God in the process as well, and saying that I want the floor of your room so clean that God himself, do you know how it ends? Could eat off of it. Why God would ever want to eat off the floor of my room, I didn't know, but it did get me to clean my room a little bit faster. Now, I think that growing up, my mother probably had a fear that she did not know how it would turn out once I got on my own, whether I'd actually be able to take care of myself or to even be a part of a family that would somehow be able to hold a household together. But over the years, after a while of college and living by myself, realizing that eventually I have to learn how to do laundry, I eventually have to learn how to do dishes, and I've gotten to the point now to where that's something that is important to me. I'm responsible for doing dishes in the house every day. I like to kind of straighten things as I walk through. I get filled with this kind of ironic, righteous indignation that as I walk into the living room and I tell my children, just look at this mess that you've made. Which my mother thinks is, even though I'm a Christian pastor, some form of karma. But yet, there's messes that are worthwhile, or at least there's moments that pop up that make it a little bit more worthwhile to push the mess off just a little bit longer. So yesterday morning as I was tying on my grass mowing shoes and I was getting ready to go outside, it was about 9 o'clock, a little bit later than we usually get started. Lavender comes up and says, "Daddy, you didn't make pancakes yet this morning." I was unaware that I was supposed to make pancakes. And I thought to myself, now I could tell her it's too late in the morning, that she missed her opportunity, and that I need to get the grass mowed before it gets too hot, and we've got all these other things that we need to do. And knowing and anticipating what the making of the pancakes is going to involve, there will be crying involved in the making of the pancakes. Someone will not get to push the flour, somebody will not get to pour the sugar in, somebody else will not get to mix the eggs, and the girls, they tend to fight, they get a little bit messy. We end up with batter slung on the wall, we end up with flour on the floor, we end up with burned fingers and hurt feelings, and it's a whole mess. But there's something about making time for that mess, that the grass could wait, that we could pick up the van a little bit later in the day. And as I was kind of cleaning up the kitchen a little bit later on, realizing that some messes are actually worth waiting on. You see, life really does get messy sometimes. It's those moments that maybe it's more than pancake batter, maybe it's more than scattered crayons on the floor, maybe it's relationships, conversations with significant others, our children, our friends and coworkers. That we get so focused on the details, we get so focused on the schedules, on the responsibilities, that the distracting moments, the ones that pop up that we could take advantage of, and we don't. How how much more important would it be to take advantage of those moments? You see, because like we read in the scripture last week and like what we'll talk about here in just a moment as well, it is never convenient when God comes knocking on our door. It's never convenient to help somebody else who's hurting. It's never convenient to turn our households inside out when God shows up. But Jesus does everything he can in those moments to distract us to what really is most important. In our scripture reading this morning, we come to one of the more iconic scriptures in the New Testament, the story of Mary and Martha. But in a lot of ways, today's story is a continuation of the story of last week, the parable of the Good Samaritan. You see, the two go hand in hand in a really powerful way. If y'all remember, kind of rewind to last week, Jesus has a lawyer who stands up and asks, "What do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus asks him, "What do the scriptures say? What does the law say?" And the lawyer responds, because the lawyer knows the law, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself." And so last week, we kind of focused on what it looks like to love your neighbor. This week, we kind of look at what it means to love God. But in the same way, there's all sorts of parallels that start up. That as Jesus began telling the story of the Good Samaritan, he started out talking about a certain man. And this morning, we get the introduction of the story with a certain woman. And yet, there's some differences as well, that in the culminating lesson of last week, Jesus tells the lawyer to go and do that. But today, he tells Martha to stop and wait and just be still for a moment. But both lessons point us to this enduring truth, this lesson, this good news, that when God shows up, it is never convenient. But it might just be the distraction that we need. As Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, he comes to a home. And Martha, as she welcomes Jesus into her home, is distracted by all the many things that any one of us would be distracted with, having somebody so important kind of coming into our midst. She's fluffing the pillows. She's straightening the room. She's getting out the dishes that are so clean that God himself could eat off of them. And she's so distracted by her many tasks. And I can tell you what happens in the story, not so much because I've read this story so many times, but because I have two daughters that are sisters. And one never feels like the other one is doing their fair share, do they? Why am I doing all the cleaning when they're not doing anything? And Martha, like, say I'm a youngest child, so like every big sister, she goes and tattles on Mary. And she gets Jesus to try to kind of become her ally in this moment as well. She pulls Jesus off to the side and she says, "Jesus, are you going to let her do nothing? Why, I have to do everything." And Jesus, in his calm, condescending way that he likes to talk to us when he knows that we're being full of ourselves, says, "Martha, Martha, Mary has chosen the best thing of all the things that are happening right now. She has planted herself right where she needs to be." There's this temptation that we have in faith with our lives, that we feel like we have to have our lives put all together for God. We've got to have everything organized. We've got to have our schedules and routine. We've got to have our devotions. We have to have our church services. We've got to have all the things that we need in order for God to show up in our lives. But God comes when it is inconvenient. And of all the things that pull on us, all the distractions that we truly have, responsibilities for others, bills, relationships, jobs, all the things that pull at our attention are the very things that distract us away from faith. But Jesus just kind of walks into the room and tries to distract us with the right things. Because the truth of the matter is all those details that we are trying to hold on to trying to hold our lives together, are coming at the very expense of spending the time with the one who gives life to us. There is a difference between welcoming God into our lives and spending time with God. The danger is to have all the trappings of faith. The danger is to have all the trappings of responsibilities and schedules and a busy life, but to lose the connection with the one who gives us life. And yet there is such good news in the fact, despite what we have going on in our lives, no matter how out of control it can seem, no matter how many plates we have spinning, Jesus will walk right in still and will sit down and distract you with the amount of grace and attention and love and hope that you can possibly stand at that moment. And it might feel like there will be bigger messes to come. It might feel like we are losing some of our responsibilities, but I tell you that if we lose those moments that God pours life into us, then the rest of that doesn't mean anything at all. There are some messes that are worth waiting on when we get distracted by the right things. Because the truth of the matter is, putting off cleaning the living room for another 30 minutes, putting off mowing the grass for another hour, it might be more inconvenient for my day, but at the same time, the mess that we made in that kitchen told a story. And some of the messes that we have in our lives that we're so insistent to clean up tell a better story. They tell stories of laughter. They tell stories of love. They tell stories of all those great fruits of the Spirit that Paul talks about, the love, the peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, because we recognized the things that matter the most. And we were willing to take a moment with those things, the most important things possible, and being with the one who created us and enjoying the very things that he has given us to enjoy. Because when we get distracted by the right things, though they come at the most inconvenient moments, those are the moments that we need the most. When we see God's mercy, when we see God's hope, and we see God's joy. And when we get those things right, then we truly find that spot where we can love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Let all the other distractions fall away, and we can love our neighbors as ourselves. Will you bow your heads with me this morning? Almighty and precious God, we do give you thanks. We give you thanks for your life. We give you thanks for your hope. We give you thanks, Lord, that you walk right into our lives, whether we're ready for you or not, and you show us what true love looks like. And though we welcome you, though we say that you're welcome, we set the table, we clean the room, we get our life all set up to what we think you want to see. Lord, the truth is, you just want to be with us. Allow us, Lord, to see past all the distractions that demand our time. Allow us to look past all the things that seem more important. Let us let some of these messes wait, so that we can spend more time with you. As we do this all in Jesus' name, amen.